from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am relatively lonely in the downstairs pub tonight. I am your host and moderator, typically. My name is Travis Carter. But tonight, it's a little bit different. The fabulous one and his whole family have been under the weather for the better part of a week, really. As any of you that live here in the Midwest probably know, there are a variety of illnesses floating around that have taken their toll on not just families, but on basketball teams, as we learned last night. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But Freddie was not feeling well enough to come into studio tonight. We do hope to have him call in later. There's a couple derby preps that he wants to talk about. I wanted to talk to him about the NBA All-Star game, because I think he was the only one of our group that actually watched any of it. We'll get his thoughts on a few other things. The big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, was unable to be here tonight. He works at Ford here in town, as longtime listeners would know, and they have something big going on at the factory this evening. I believe he was able to stay late and get some overtime, and those guys do not pass up an opportunity. I mean, despite the obvious tremendous pay that he would be making here with us, discretion was the better part of valor for the big fella tonight, and he decided his time would be better spent elsewhere, and he certainly made the correct decision from a profitability standpoint. Want to remind everybody that we are on social media, although I have been horrible at updating that. I hope to get to force myself to get better, but you can follow us on Twitter, X at Blockout Pod, and on Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. You can find us there. So, hope to have Fred on a little bit later. But I thought at the beginning of the show tonight, I would welcome back in my nephew, Colin, who has been a big part of this show, has been on the show several times, and always has picks for us and things like that. But I thought I would bring him in first thing off the bat, and just had a couple things that I wanted to talk with him about. First of all, Colin, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I am here.
So the first thing, and really, what I really wanted to spend a decent amount of time talking about tonight, is this Four Nations hockey tournament that has been going on. To be perfectly frank with you, I was not hyper aware that this thing was going to happen before it did. I think Tuna brought it up at the end of one of our podcasts, and then we talked about it some last week. But I want to reiterate, now, for full disclosure, my single favorite sporting moment, as I'm sure a lot of people's of a certain age, myself and a little bit older than me, is the 1980 Olympic hockey team and their run to the gold medal at Lake Placid. Names like Mike Ruzioni, Jack O'Callaghan, Jimmy Craig, just to name a few, of course, Coach Herb Brooks, the legend. really, and I was only 7 years old at the time, but it really made an indelible mark on me for a few different reasons. One, I can remember my dad telling me as the tournament was going on, well, you know, the United States won last night and they won again. And then we watched a couple of the games in the group stage. They were on it, and I honestly don't remember if these were on. I know the game against the Russians was on tape delay, but I assume that most of the games that we were watching were on tape delay. I didn't really fathom that as a 7 or 8 year old, but I have been a fanatic about USA hockey really since that time, and always get geared up for the Olympics and things like that. But this particular tournament, I really was not, I didn't really know what to expect. It's, for those of you that don't know, it's the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland. And they played a round robin. Everybody played each other. And then it was a point system as to who would advance to the championship game. The United States, and now the first two games were in Montreal. And then the last two games are in Boston. The United States beat Finland and Canada and locked themselves into the championship game, which is tomorrow night, Thursday night, as we record this on Wednesday. So United States plays Canada on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And anyone that saw the United States-Canada game this past Saturday night knows what that atmosphere was like. It will be equally as insane, if not more so, in Boston. Colin, I'm curious, because you clearly are much younger than me and were not anywhere near being born yet when the Miracle on Ice took place. So I'm wondering, and I know that because you've been texting back and forth on our text threads, and I know you're just a sports fanatic in general, but I'm curious if your interest in this tournament is in any way can be traced back to kind of some sort of peripheral excitement because you know the story. I'm sure you've seen the movie. Did that have anything, like, do you think about USA hockey and immediately think of the 1980 team, or is that just guys like me that are old enough to have lived through that? And then, secondarily, what have your thoughts been about this tournament?
Well, it's been an excellent tournament, and I cannot wait for the rematch against U.S. and Canada tomorrow night. I mean, that should just be absolutely electric atmosphere there in Boston. I don't know if it's me being a sports fanatic, but whenever I think of USA hockey, it is right there, Miracle on Ice, that 1980 USA team. I'm not sure if you asked a whole lot of people in my generation if they would truly know a whole lot about it. I'm sure that they've heard of it if they're just a general sports fan.
The movie certainly helped.
I'm sure. But that is definitely the first thing I think of. But it's also just, if I hear USA hockey, that's any type of Olympic thing or any USA sport where they're playing together against a different nation, that just gets me fired up immediately because that just makes me feel an extra sort of patriotic, especially if they're playing Canada. And this is just a nice little tease, I think, for next year in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, well, there is no question that and let me say this also, and I hate to just over gush about this, but everything about this tournament has been top notch. You and I were talking about it on the text thread the other night. They've got the best announcers. They've got tremendous, like a great studio show. Their audio, which hockey on television, the audio extremely important, a huge part of it. With you hear the ice, you hear the skates, you hear the puck going off the boards, you hear the bodies banging off the boards. Like the production has been fantastic. The little thing that they did where they had Mike Ruzioni do the intro for the USA Canada game the other night. Like I just think everything that that ESPN has done and ABC has done with this tournament has been perfection from a sports broadcasting standpoint. And it's done. I told Tuna this the other day. I said, I don't know if I'm sure this was partly their aim, but what it has done is I'm not a huge NHL person. I'm just not. I haven't been for years and years and years. I used to be a Bruins fan way back in the old days. And I used to follow it fairly closely, but I haven't followed the NHL closely in a couple of decades. But what this tournament has done for me is gotten me familiar with a lot of these guys. And I've looked up like where they play, like what their NHL team is. And now I'm interested in following them for the rest of the season, you know, and now like building up towards the Olympics. And there's going to be some, you know, I'm sure some teammates are playing against each other. And it's just a very unique, very cool situation. And the kind of the geopolitical part of it, which we won't get into here, but I'm sure you guys all know why the Canadian fans might take umbrage to the United States national anthem at this exact moment. And that only adds to kind of it adds to the atmosphere, to the fire, to people, because people that know I am not a jingoistic, xenophobic person. I'm the most opposite of that you could ever imagine. But much like yourself, when it's the USA, I've often said, I think I got this from my dad. He would say, I don't care if it was tiddlywinks. If the USA was playing, I was watching. I'm pretty sure I can remember my dad saying something like that. And, from someone in the younger generation, I'm kind of curious, because I know on social media, you probably follow a lot of different people than what I do and stuff. Has there been some sort of a peak of interest in younger people, or is this something that's strictly for sports fanatics and, people that have like a nostalgia feeling about the 1980 team?
I think that kind of hockey period has kind of gone by the wayside for my generation. It's more college sports. It's more NBA. It's more NFL. And I think that probably a whole lot of people that are just a casual sports fan probably didn't even know that it was happening.
Right.
Up until the three fights happened in the USA-Canada game right off the bat. And then that's kind of what fueled social media and got that going. I'm sure the viewership rates for Thursday will be unreal, and probably just going to propel it.
By the way, if you haven't seen the beginning of that USA-Canada game, I would implore you to just look it up. I mean, you can find the highlights about anywhere. But as Colin was alluding to, there were first of all, the first fight happened literally the second that the referee dropped the puck for the opening faceoff. Two guys just dropped their gloves and started fighting. That fight ends. They get everything cleaned up. They send the guys off to the to the box, and the announcer, I believe it was the color commentator, he said, he goes, I'm telling you right now, the other Kachuk brother's getting ready to go sit with his brother. He's going to fight next. And no more than did they drop the puck the second time. Sure enough, two more guys go at it. They fight. They get it clear. So now there's two guys on each team in the penalty box. They drop the puck. United States sends it down in the Canadian zone. There's a hit in front of the goalie, and they drop the gloves again. This is three knockdown drag out fights that happened in the first 9 seconds of gameplay.
It was unbelievable, and I think that right whenever the Tkachuk brothers heard the Canadians booing the national anthem, I think that they already kind of had a feeling that they were going to get into a fight. But I think that it flashed right then and there that they knew right whenever puck drop happens, we're fighting, we're setting the tone for this game. And both teams came out to play, and it was just an amazing atmosphere for the first little 5 minutes before everything kind of settled down.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, okay, you can have these tournaments. You can have the USA against Canada or whatever. And it could easily turn in, because they are in the middle of their season. This could easily turn into like a, for lack of a better term, like an NBA All-Star type of environment where the guys are going half-assed. They're trying not to get hurt. Not a lot of hitting, you know, high-scoring games, not a lot of defense being played. This is the complete diametric opposite of that. This is every guy on the ice completely selling out. I mean, I would say the level of intensity is much, much like it is in the playoffs, like a Stanley Cup final type of feeling.
And I think that, to your point earlier, having this right at the little NHL break is going to, like yourself, turn a lot of people's attention more to the NHL now that the NFL is over and college basketball is getting ready to go into March Madness here. We're heading towards the NFL NHL playoffs. And like yourself, you're reading up on all these players and stories. It's going to make you want to follow the NHL a little bit more. And to the contrary, NBA with their latest All-Star shenanigans did the complete opposite. So I think it's a great opportunity for the NHL, just for a casual sports fan to kind of turn on ESPN, turn on TNT, and watch hockey. And it's great, I think, for the sport in general.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I am looking as forward to the game tomorrow night as I have any sporting event in quite some time. I mean, as far as like from a spectacle standpoint and an atmosphere standpoint, and you know, I just think it's going to be so cool, and I can't wait. And I really just wanted to get that out there, that to say, if you are not a huge hockey fan perhaps, or even a big sports fan, which, if you're not a big sports fan, you're probably not listening to this program. But I do think that there is something a little even bigger than sports when it comes to these type of things, and that's why it kind of takes on this life of its own. I could not be more excited for the matchup tomorrow night. Now, do you know, do Sweden and Finland play in for the third place game? Are they having a third place game? Do you have any idea?
I haven't seen anything about it. And that might just be because if you're not an avid hockey guy, you're not really going to care about that game too much. But I think it's just going to be USA and Canada for the championship game.
It would appear that you are correct.
Okay.
Because I just looked, and the only game they have scheduled is the USA-Canada game. So
that would make sense.
So that should be tremendous, tremendous. I mean, it is absolute must-see television. It's going to be sports theater at its absolute height. And I would recommend finding the biggest television you can find with the best sound system you can find, and sitting down and spending a couple hours watching that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm going to have to kind of mute my socials there. I'll be at the Indiana women's basketball game. It starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. But I can assure you I'm going to record that NHL game, and I'm going to rewind it to the first period and start watching it from there as soon as I get home, and just try to stay off of any type of social media so I'm just watching it in real time from my point of view. So it should be amazing tomorrow night. I cannot wait.
Well, I'm glad you told me that, because I will try to refrain from you might have to take yourself off of our podcast text thread.
I'm thinking about just muting the messages entirely for the whole night.
Because
I don't trust Fred or anybody not to kind of throw something out there.
Oh no, I promise you we will be chattering about it the entire game. So
oh yeah.
So yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. I'm thankful that Tuna turned me on to the fact that this was going on, and I was able to watch the first game, which kind of got me into it, because I don't know that the Canada game, well, I'm sure it wouldn't have been as interesting to me, because I was watching it, I was looking up the players, oh, I wonder where he plays, wonder who that guy is, and that got me interested enough that by the time the Canada game rolled around on Saturday night, I was 1,000% in. As a matter of fact, I even sent a picture out. I was wearing my authentic Mike Ruzioni jersey, and I'm not a big wear a jersey to watch a game guy, especially by myself in my own home. But if ever there, and guess what? It's cleaned and pressed and ready to be worn tomorrow night.
Oh, there we go.
And as a matter of fact, I sit here at the master control desk in the downstairs pub, the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios, each and every week. I sit here at this master control desk, and one of the pictures on my desk is the celebration of the 1980 Olympic hockey team signed by Mike Ruzioni.
Well, if that's not a good omen, I'm not sure what else is.
So I have that reminder. You know, everything else down here in the downstairs pub, for the most part, has mostly a direct relation to Indiana University or the Colts or the Pacers or the Indianapolis 500. But there are a few items and artifacts that don't. And this picture certainly is in a place of prominence, and it is one of the few things that does not. So speaking of relation to Indiana University and Indiana University in general, and IU basketball specifically, we all know that Mike Woodson, however you want to say it, he's not going to be the head coach at IU next year. And, you know, the speculations have been running wild about who Indiana would be interested in, who would be interested in Indiana, how good of a job Indiana basketball is these days relative to what it has been in the past. Of course, you know, and message boards and social media were made for these kind of coaching searches it's going to gain, you know, some national interest, because Indiana, for all of its relative non-success in the last 20 or so years, still, when you say Indiana basketball, people still think of, you know, it's Indiana basketball. It's still, so it gets some national traction. With all that being said, Colin, of course, is an Indiana sports fanatic. As a matter of fact, why don't you tell everybody what your, if they want to follow you, if you want to follow someone that goes to most of the, all the games, follows all the sports, gives updates on the games and things like that. If you are an Indiana fan, Colin, what is your Twitter X handle or whatever, and your Instagram and all that?
Twitter and X and Instagram are all the same handle. It's just IU Sports for Life. Each word is spelled out, so you can just follow me there. I post updates on every game, and throughout I post it for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, pretty much all your IU. If you are an IU fan, might as well go ahead and tag along to it.
Indeed. And I follow, and I'm following a lot of times. I'm not in a place where I can follow the women's games live on television or whatever. Maybe they're not on TV. And I always know that I'll get a pretty good play-by-play, but a pretty good, I can follow the game along by just looking at Colin's tweets. So that's at IU Sports for Life on Twitter, Instagram, and what else did you say?
Oh, that's it. That's
okay,
it.
On Twitter and Instagram. So I thought, since you are relatively close to the program, you go to almost all the games, you communicate with some of the people that are involved there, I thought I would just throw some names out. Just throw some names out and just get your initial reaction from these particular standpoints. Would you like to have this person as coach? Do you think there's any chance they would come? And do you think the fan base as a whole would be positive? Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start with the, like, the super names, I'm not going to say anything else, but these are the, probably the biggest names that, have been, or, you know, at any way linked towards the Indiana job, just with their names. So the number one, most obvious one, Brad Stevens.
Fan reaction would be over the roof. I mean, people would be probably putting things on fire for how excited they would be in Bloomington. Do I think that it would happen? Absolutely not. But boy, I would love that hire. I'm not sure that there's a better guy outside of college basketball right now that's not a current coach that you could pick up, that you could say,
right, but
he's going to win it and day one.
I agree with all those things, but people always say, like, Brad Stevens to Indiana, it's a natural fit. I mean, do people not understand that he runs the entire outfit for the Boston freaking Celtics, who just won a world championship? Like, why would you leave that job to come to IU?
Yeah, he's got to be in a very desperate situation. And there's been a lot of rumors about before Mike Woodson was hired, we had talked to Brad Stevens, and he had wanted to do the job, but his family said no. And so he didn't take the job. Whether that's just hearsay or if that's actually true, who knows? That's in the past. Obviously, Jeff Goodman on Twitter has said that Brad Stevens is not interested in it, but who knows at this point? I don't think that IU will get him,
no.
But that would be, of course,
no.
Over the top.
Yeah, so that's the number one. Like, everybody would love him. He would do great things here, but he's not coming. Okay, so
no.
So I just, but I had to get that. I had to get that out there. Name number two, Scott Drew.
I think that overall the fan base, they would be quite happy. Everybody knows that name. He's been around basketball forever.
He's been around basketball in the state of Indiana for many years.
Absolutely. I think that it would go over very well. He's had a lot of success at Baylor. This year they've had their ups and downs. Do I think that he's a very big option for IU at the moment? No. So I'm not. He wouldn't be in my probably top five of who IU would call first. But I think that that would be a great hire. I would not be disappointed in the slightest.
Okay. Name number three. Currently coaching the number one ranked team in all of the land, Bruce Pearl.
I love Bruce Pearl. A lot of people have their controversial opinions on him as a head coach. I think that he made quite the great strategic move last year, kind of implementing himself into IU basketball whenever we played him, and got himself a nice little contract extension there. I don't think that that's a real possibility. I don't think that IU is entertaining that in the slightest, but I think that people would absolutely love that if that ever was to happen.
That's very well said, and I completely concur. We'll get this one out of the way because we've talked about him on this program ad nauseum. He's currently in year one at a conference rivals school, but we all know his background, his connections to Coach Knight and the Indiana program. Of course, I'm speaking of University of Michigan head coach Dusty May.
I think outside of Brad Stevens, if you ask any IU basketball fan out there, I think that that would be their number one guy that is currently coaching college basketball. The amazing work that he's done just this year at Michigan and at FAU a couple years ago has been really unprecedented, I think. And I think he's a great mind. Do I think that he will leave Michigan? No. But I do think that there's a small possibility. I would love that hire, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, you know, I've really gone back and forth on that. And I know there's, and Tuna not being here tonight, when he listens to this, he's probably going to be kicking the wall or something because of, you know, he has his feelings about Dusty because of the way that things transpired here at Louisville, which obviously ended up working out for U of L. But I've really gone back and forth on, do I think he would take the job? It would be very difficult, I think, from his standpoint to accept the job. But I also think it would be difficult for him to turn it down because, you're just not sure, you know, hopefully for Indiana's sake, whoever comes in gets the job and is here for the next 15 years, you know? So you just don't know if it's going to come back open in 4 or 5 years when you would be more apt and more comfortable to leave. I wouldn't blame him if he did either thing. And I think unless you're some sort of psycho, like irrational fan, like Michigan fans would have to understand that, you know, look, he's going to come in, he's going to put you in a better position than he found the program in. He's built some culture there, but I just can't turn this down. It's my number one dream job. And we're kind of assuming that for him, that it is. I have heard that from people that know him. But I can't say that for sure. We're all just kind of assuming that it's his dream job. Maybe Michigan is now his dream job. I have no idea. But
I think what would really come down to it, I'm speaking in a hypothetical aspect of things, if he did get offered the job, I think for him, he kind of had a little bit of spotlight on him at FAU whenever they made the Final Fours in the national championship game. I'm not sure if he would want that spotlight at IU for an entire season. and let alone if he made the tournament. I think that would just be up to him if he wants to be put in that situation, because my God, he's got it made pretty good up there in Michigan right now.
Yeah, you know, but coaches, especially at the highest level of, I mean, really, at any level, if you're worth a damn as a coach, you would like to compete at the highest level that you can. And I think that, like, I don't think he's going to think that the, and Tuna's going to disagree with me on this, but I don't think that he is going to think that, oh, I couldn't handle the spotlight there. I mean, it's not like he's coaching it. Arkansas Technical Prison School. I mean, he's at the University of Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no, I mean, and I'm not saying that he would do bad under that spotlight or he wouldn't want it. I just think that that'd be something that he would want to think about. I think that if he got offered it, he would take it.
Do you really? Yeah,
I do. I do think so. I didn't think so before his comments after the Michigan and IU game a couple weeks ago. And just hearing those post-game comments, I thought that if he did get offered the job, he would take it.
Well, I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't offer it to him. Like, I'd be shocked if they don't offer it. I mean, they have to, right?
I would assume so.
So, I mean, from that standpoint, you're telling me that you think there's a good chance he's going to be Indiana's next head coach. If you think he would accept the job if offered, because they have to offer him the job. We'll get back to that, because I want to talk about some other names quickly. This guy has taken a team to the at least one Final Four, and he made a couple other deep runs in the tournament. Left for a bigger opportunity, then had an off-court situation, but now is back in the SEC at a major conference school, but not at a big basketball school. I am talking about Chris Beard. He also obviously has ties to Coach Knight.
I think what he's doing right now is the exact thing that Bruce Pearl did last year. Is he's mentioned Coach Knight and IU in a couple of interviews that he's done recently. I think that he knows that IU would never even think about, with all of those allegations off the court, they would even sniff trying to hire him. I think that he's just doing that for his own benefit. I think he's an incredible coach, and I think that he would be a very good coach at IU. For the fan base wise, I'm not sure if everybody would be too happy with it. I think that there'd be a lot of opinions out there, but I think overall people would come to the understanding that he's a tremendous basketball coach and he could win here. But I don't think that would happen in the slightest.
And this, I'm strictly speaking personally. I don't know Chris Beard. I don't know really anything about him. I mean, I do know what was reported, what was alleged. And it would be very difficult for me to not see that every time he... The problem is, I loved Chris Beard because, of course, he was one of Coach Knight's top assistants at Texas Tech. And then he worked for Patrick there. But I don't know. You were probably really young. I don't know if you've ever seen the show on reruns, or you probably watch it on YouTube now or whatever, that ESPN did called Knight School.
Yes, yeah.
And it was like a reality show where a bunch of kids came to Texas Tech. There was one spot. It was like kind of like The Bachelor or whatever. There was one spot for a walk-on to make the team. And they did this thing. It was actually, I think the show was way beneath Coach Knight, and I didn't like it, but I did watch the entire show, and Chris Beard was like the main guy that they talked to on that show all the time.
Like, oh, yeah.
Chris Beard and Stu Robinson. And so I always kind of got a kick out of him and all that, but yes, it would be difficult for me to kind of see past what's been alleged of him off the court. One more name from the inside the Indiana family, and I only say this to humor myself. What about Fonzo, Steve Alford?
Fan base would love it.
Well, I think most of the fan base would hate it.
Really?
I do. I think, and especially, dude, like, if they would have hired, I mean, here's what I've always said. If they would have hired Coach Alford right after Mike Davis,
yeah,
like, that would have been perfect. After that, it could, and right now, it could never work now. Just
no,
from my standpoint, because we just brought back one of the all-time Indiana basketball playing legends, and it's flamed out after 4 years, right?
I see where you're coming from there, but the only difference is, and Nevada's had a lot of problems this year on the court. But I think that Steve Alford has proved that he can at least be a pretty good coach at the college level whenever Mike Woodson had no previous experience of coaching.
Now, that's true. I mean, he took UCLA to the tournament. He took Iowa to the tournament. He took, I believe when he coached there, it was Southeast Missouri State. He took them to the tournament. He took New Mexico to the tournament. And he's taken Nevada to the – so he's taken five teams to the NCAA tournament. Now, he's never made a big run. I think, is a Sweet 16 as far as he's ever gotten?
I believe so. That sounds right.
And I just think there would be a big backlash and a big outcry, I think, if he came. But it's always going to be so hard for me because I'm not rational when it comes to that kind of thing, as much as I try to be. Like, those guys were my heroes when I was a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Matter of fact, I sat the other day, you know how on YouTube you get these, like, suggested for you videos or whatever? It was like an hour and 37 minutes long, and it was Steve Alford's highlights in the 1987 NCAA tournament. And you better believe I sat at my desk with my headphones on and watched every second of that.
I have no doubt that is 100% true.
Now, with those names that we brought up, is there another big-time name? Oh, there's actually one other guy that I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on. He's actually playing right now. They're not doing great. But he coaches one of my other favorite college basketball teams, Mark Byington, that's at Vanderbilt right now. His name just kind of, I saw it on the periphery of when I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what Colin thinks about that.
I wouldn't mind it. I don't think that IU has any interest in him. I don't think that he has any interest in leaving Vandy right now. You know, of course, if they offered him the job, I think that it'd be a very easy decision for him.
he's taking it if offered the job.
But I don't think that there's really any interest from IU in that aspect. I think that a lot of Indiana fans would be a little bit puzzled by it and a little bit upset just because they're hoping for one of those bigger names that everybody knows that comes from a long history of coaching success. But I wouldn't mind the hire. But I certainly don't think that IU really has any interest at this point in him.
I don't either, and I don't want him to come because I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's going to do great things at Vanderbilt, and I would just assume he stays there and builds something special, and Indiana gets a coach that can do the same. Now, is there a big – I'm sure there is. Is there a big name that I have left off the list, like a marquee name that people are talking about that I've left off the list?
There's a few. One that I – you know my feelings about it. Mick Cronin.
Oh, well, yeah, see, he was going to be on the second level of guy. He's more – now, I say that. I think he's a great coach, too. And I just don't know that he's a fit at Indiana.
I'm not sure, but boy, he wants to get out of UCLA any way he can.
He does. That seems relatively obvious.
And I'm not saying that he would be a fit at IU. I don't think that he would be. But I think that he would leave pretty much almost anywhere right now if he got offered. So definitely him. I think Greg McDermott, the Creighton coach, I would like that personally as
now,
a hire.
He would be more of a, but probably, I mean, he's in his probably mid-60s, I would say.
Which
really isn't that old from a coaching standpoint anymore. I mean, hell, Rick Pitino ought to be in the top 6 or 7 for coach of the freaking year this year, you know?
Yeah.
And he's in his 70s, right?
Yeah, no, definitely in his 70s. I think that Greg's probably got upwards of, 8 to 10 years left of coaching. And then I'm not sure that there's really any chance that this would ever happen. But Richard Pitino over at New Mexico, I think, would be a pretty good hire. And I think that he wouldn't be a bad fit at IU.
Boy, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about Richard. That's interesting. I mean, he was in the Big Ten, albeit at Minnesota. I wonder what the fan base reaction to that would be.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. I think that a lot of people would overlook what he's done at New Mexico and just go back to his Minnesota days and say,
Those are people that don't understand, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, absolutely. But you have to. I mean, quite frankly, the majority of people don't really understand. they just look at the numbers. They just look at the numbers, right? And go, well, no, he was. And I get that, and I think he's a great basketball coach. He's obviously learned a lot of things from his father, and he does have probably kind of the attitude and the swagger a little bit that plays well at a place like Indiana, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just from what IU and Scott Dolson have said, he said that he wants an experienced coach. He wants not necessarily an older one, but one that's younger, that still has some experience, and one that has promise and has proved that he can coach at least in the highest level that he can. I think that any of those candidates really that we mentioned tonight are up there for a conversation with IU. It's just a matter of who would they call first. And who would accept that job?
I just happened to remember where I saw the Mark Byington thing. It was, you might have sent it to me. Somebody had reported that Coach Cignetti, Kurt Cignetti, Indiana's football coach, had been pushing for Byington to be the next coach at Indiana because Byington came from James Madison, where Sig came from, And Six just sent out a text, which was shocking and super cool. He said, man, I'm too busy with my own team to be worried about the basketball. He's like, these guys know a lot more about basketball than I do. So that's actually where I saw that, isn't it?
Yeah. His exact quote there was not true. Scott Dolson knows a heck of a lot more about basketball than I ever will know. And I have my own team to focus on.
Yeah, which is perfectly said. Perfectly said. So, if I'm putting you on the spot, this guy is going to be the next head coach of Indiana basketball. If you had to put a big money wager on it, who would you bet?
Right now, in my current thoughts, if I had to pick a number one, I think it would probably be Mick Cronin, to be quite honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And he's got a very big buyout at UCLA. And that's not really going on any, insider information. I'm not trying to be one of those fake people that says that they have
information. Right. Sure. No, we're
just
we are, and you way more than me, are just a very engaged fan with would say an educated opinion, but these are just opinions. We're not claiming to be breaking any news or that we know somebody who knows somebody. This is strictly, and that's what I want. I just want your gut feeling on who it would be. And you say Mick Cronin, and that is very, very interesting to me. I'd seen his name mentioned here and there on different, but I hadn't really given it a lot of thought. But it is obvious that he is not happy in Westwood. That is clear.
No, he wants to get out of there no matter where that's at. And my gut feeling might change throughout the rest of February and into March here before IU officially makes their decision. But as of right now, I just have a weird feeling it could very well be Mick Cronin.
Well, that's so interesting. And of course, as the season wears on and once the season is over, we will follow this discussion very closely, and I'm sure there'll be lots of other names bandied about. Just didn't have time to get into all of them this evening because I still hopefully have the fabulous Freddie Benders calling in here in a little bit. Colin, great job tonight. Really enjoyed talking the Four Nations Hockey Tournament and talking some Indiana basketball with you. Anything you'd like to say or share before you get out of here tonight?
Well, I hope we didn't bore people too much. I hope that we don't have anybody falling asleep on all that IU basketball chatter that we've had. What I would just like, I wish that Tuna was there tonight, but I would just like to tell him and tell all my NFL fans out there that now that the Chiefs have lost, their dynasty is officially over, and there's a big bad train coming, and they have the third overall pick, and I think that they're going to get Cam Ward, and the New York Giants might be the Super Bowl champs in the next 2 years. I'm not sure.
Boy, I wish Tuna was here for that too. I can't wait till he hears it. Well, again, Colin, thank you so much. It's always great to have you on the show, and we look forward to doing it again very soon. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, hopefully I will be joined by the fabulous one. We will see you on the other side. Well, we are back, and I've jumped into the DeLorean and moved ahead about 14 hours. But as promised last night when Colin and I were talking, we are very excited to be joined now by the fabulous one, by Freddie Benders. And first of all, Fred, thanks for coming on. And secondarily, I know that the family has been a little under the weather. And speaking of weather, the weather that we are having here in Louisville is not helping to improve anybody's mood, nor probably helping them heal from the various sicknesses and afflictions that everyone seems to be having. So first of all, Fred, how is everybody doing at your house?
Hold on, let me remove my ice pack from my head. No, dude, we're improving over here at the Bender family. That's what I call us. We are the Bender family right now.
Mrs. Benders and Freddie Jr. are doing well.
Yes, yes, everyone is getting over whatever their sickness has been. Obviously, you knew I had the flu 2 weeks ago, the flu A, whatever. That was a rough 2 days, but I got over that quick with the old Tamiflu. But now I got hit with what everyone else has been getting. Anyways, we're over, just about over it. I feel good. I'm ready to get out maybe tonight and watch a little USA Canada hockey game. I'm kind of pumped up about that. I know you all know way more about all that than I do. I just know the Kachuk brothers are two badasses I love watch play, and
well,
I'm
and
just trying to pull home a victory.
That's interesting because now Colin and I expounded on the Four Nations tournament quite a bit last night, but I said essentially the same thing, that going into this tournament, I was not, like, I'm not a close follower of professional hockey or the NHL, but I am a fan of USA hockey, and we went through the whole thing. It's be available for your listening pleasure here in just a couple of hours, but it's done.
You got the jersey, baby.
Yes, it's done. I think what you're alluding to and what I said last night is it's grabbed the casual hot. You know, maybe you're not even necessarily a hockey fan, but you're a sports fan, and it's kind of grabbed the attention of all of those people, myself being included in that. And forced me now to go look up some of these players. Oh, I wonder where he plays his professional hockey. I wonder how his team does. You know, what does he do for his... And so now I'm looking forward to, after this tournament is over, following these guys on through the rest of the NHL season. And then leading into the Winter Olympics, which are just a year away.
Exactly, and it just seems like that hockey is kind of, and I'm not saying hockey psychos look at it like the NBA, but people like us do, where there's a lot of games throughout the season, and baseball for that matter, but baseball's different, I think, but, you know, there's so many games throughout the season, you're not going to intensely watch them all, especially NBA, and for us, hockey as well, until it gets to the playoffs. And then everybody that's a sports fan gets involved highly in all sports when it gets to playoff time, because you know how that mentality changes.
Right, and I said to Colin last night that this game, these games in this tournament have been played at a intensity level that you see like in a Stanley Cup finals type of situation. Like this is not normal Tuesday night in February hockey.
No, it's desperation, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, dude, it's like, you know, hey, and then you put together the USA versus Canada scenario, where of course that's where even my 8-year old soul is like, isn't that where hockey was founded? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, yes, you're right, and yes, it means something for the U.S. to have raised up to try to take that over, you know, for at least for this time, you know. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's just going to be an intense game, and I'm it's the championship game, and
yeah, it's I'm certainly ready. Much must see television tonight at 8 o'clock, or a little after eight.
I have my red, white, and blue on, baby.
I love it. Now, juxtaposing that, where this tournament, where everybody's selling out, playing their brains out, it's life and death every second on the ice. Juxtaposing that to what we saw this last week, and I'm not here to pile on. You know that Fred and I are both big fans of the NBA, but the NBA All-Star Weekend is again. I don't need to pile on. Everybody's
faltered.
Yeah, well, it's almost unwatchable. To the extent that
I think it's been tinkered with too much.
Yeah, and it's to the point. And honestly, the main reason is there's no incentive aside from just pride. There's no incentive for these guys to go up, because what I said about this hockey tournament is it would have been very easy for these hockey teams, these four teams, to say, hey, we're going to treat this as an exhibition. We're going to score a bunch of goals. We're not going to play a lot of defense. We're not going to do a lot of hitting. But it's been the complete opposite of that.
There's pride involved.
pride involved to the 100th degree. But yeah. With all that being said, and again, I'm not here to pile on the NBA All-Star Weekend. I do know there were a couple.
But I am for a minute.
But I also know that there were some things that happened during the course of the All-Star Weekend that were at least entertaining. And one of those is the event that I found over the last several years to be what I thought the least entertaining, that had lost its most luster, and that's the dunk contest. But over the past couple of years, that seems to have at least come back to where we have, if not an NBA star, we have a NBA All-Star Weekend dunk contest star, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, so I'm sitting around, and of course I'm flipping from the hockey game. I think y'all were watching the Daytona 500. I'm not in that mode yet, but or maybe that was that Sunday.
Yeah, that's
that was Sunday.
But
okay, well,
that's another
anyways,
event.
You all were watching certain things. There were great basketball games on too. I was flipping around, but Saturday night, good games on Saturday night. And then the hockey game was on. One of the hockey games was on Saturday night as well, I think. But I was watching. I was just flipping around, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna kind of hang on All Star Weekend here, because Clayton, my little boy, was here, and I was like, dunk contest is going on, the skills and all. Dude, the skills competition, which who cares about? The 3-point competition hasn't changed. It's kind of the same thing, you know. They're in San Francisco. Where's Steph? You know, like, come on, dude. Like, you can't get in the three. You can shoot half-court shots while everybody's waiting during commercial breaks in your hoodie, but you can't get into the 3-point competition when it's in your city. Like, I mean, all you're doing is shooting threes. Are you worried about losing? Here's the thing. I thought it was interesting that they had Vince Carter on. It was like his 25th anniversary of his dunk contest that
right.
blew everyone's
right.
minds.
Right.
And, dude, he brought a little realistic realistic criticism to the night. It was like, I really believe that a lot of these guys' egos are checked, and I think they're worried about losing. It hurts their brand and all this crap. Whereas, you know, he goes, you're there by yourself. You ain't got a teammate to throw the ball to, and there's 20,000 people watching you. And all these guys, these new age athletes, they're all scared to fail. They're scared it's going to hurt their brand. You know, give me a break already. Like, take the chance and get in, and you're shooting three-pointers. You're not going to make them all the time. Damian Lillard trying to make it three in a row was respect because he tried to win three in a row. He put his name up there and went in front of everybody, and he lost. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't understand why Steph Curry and people like that wouldn't be right in the three-point contest. Going on to the dunk contest, you know, all these guys, you know who can dunk in the NBA. I think now they've all taken it as a joke because people talk about it as a joke. But this McLung kid comes in and starts jumping over cars. And it's unbelievable what this guy's done. Like, I mean, you got to give him credit. He's in the G League. He's got, good God, his vertical has to be 48 inches. I've never seen a guy jump so high. He never misses his first dunk. I don't think he's missed his first dunk in 2 years. I mean, it has to be talked about because, and yes, everyone, oh, it's a dunk contest. I get it. But it is All-Star Week. It's been going on for years. The Jordan dunk, the Spud Webb, Zach LaVine, Isaiah Ryder, the first guy to go between his legs and dunk. I just think it's amazing what McLung's done in the G League. And I thought Stephen Castle represented himself great as well, who was also the rookie, Rising Star MVP. But as you get to the dunk contest, and I thought it was a success. I really did, just for the fun of it and you know, the fans and everything. But you look at but what I want to compare it to is the Rising Star Challenge and all these tournaments they're doing where you're going to 12 by ones or whatever. The All-Star Game. I mean, dude, how about we keep it simple and just do, how about whatever happened to the internationals versus the Americans?
Right.
You want to talk about something that you do in the All-Star Game that would get people to watch and play? I mean, you're talking about the Olympics now where all these teams are getting better. Lithuania, France, you know, with Wembanyama, Jokic, SGA is Canadian. The Canadian team's great. These are three dudes going for MVP. Why can't you do the internationals versus the Americans in a heated All-Star game? One game, not all this tournament cut-up crap. It's just ridiculous. You know, you got... I don't understand it. I think they need to go back to doing it just one game, even if it's East versus West. If they ain't going to play hard, so what? Like Ike said, it's a celebration of basketball. But like in the skills challenge, you had Chris Paul, and then they went first in the skills challenge. And by the rules, they thought they were being slick. And
oh,
they
yeah.
literally,
I saw,
when it came down, they
I
missed
saw.
All their – they didn't even take shots.
Yeah,
so
I saw
that. So they
treated
it like a joke.
Yeah.
And they got – and I love that the NBA stood tall and had a guy there like, you're not going to be interviewed to complain, but you cheated. Here's the rules. You're disqualified.
Right.
At least they did that much. Because to hear them complain about what their little trick was is a joke. But – you know, there's your 7 or 8 minutes on the All-Star game. I thought McLung has done great. I don't want to see him a fourth time, but at least the G Leaguer came in and made the All-Star weekend something fun, because I don't think anything else, the All-Star game, I didn't even watch it, but I heard that it was a joke.
Right.
That no one even played hard, even in the tournament style. Even if you're going against rookies,
right,
they don't play hard, and it's all cut down. I would rather have one game where everybody's watching, the team that deserves to be there playing each other. But I do think that they do need to look at it and see if we should start doing the internationals versus the Americans. I think that's the way to do the All-Star game.
They certainly are not going to, I wouldn't think, given the relative outcry this year about how bad this year's particular scenario was. I have a feeling they will make a lot of changes going forward. It'll be interesting to see.
It's just for fun. You know, I get it, you know. But it, as a kid growing up, it's always, I mean, you have to admit, when it was big, it was, everybody was watching.
Oh,
dude.
Sure.
In the Jordan era, and even past the Jordan era, everybody was watching.
Absolutely.
And anyways.
I know that there are some derby preps coming up that you wanted to get to. We'll talk about that here directly. But secondarily from that, you and I know, have been watching an inordinate amount of college basketball lately. And we've been talking about teams that we like, maybe that aren't on the first page of the leaderboard, so to speak. I also know that you've been doing pretty good with your wagering relative to college basketball.
Fire, man.
So I wanted to find out who you've been winning with. Are there any other teams you've been looking at that that you really like? And just kind of get your feel on where college basketball is as we gear up to the last couple weeks of the regular season.
Oh, Lord, you don't know what, you don't even want to know what I'm winning with, because I don't really know. I mean, I think I won last night with Omaha, was one of my teams. But, dude, I'm not kidding. I'm going down. This is my new system. I'm going down. I'm doing $10 parlays, four teams, five teams sometimes. I go down. I'm looking at the record. I'm looking at the one record versus the other team, and I do have an idea of who won and who lost on my last better here. And I only do like two of them, but I will go down and look at the record. And if I see a home team that has a winning record, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking for, why is this team that has a winning record playing a losing team, and a team at home with a winning record's giving 2 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm looking for, I'm putting all that together, and then I'm basically, then once I find my four teams, then, and it says like, oh, you can win 230. Then I go back and I start altering my spreads to helping just off at like 2.5 points off the Vegas hit that they're so great at. And then I knock that, say, 230 down to 180 and not be greedy, and bam. And it's really been working for me. But I have been winning a lot with a lot of these West Coast teams and stuff. But the teams that I think are really starting to play well are a lot of these teams, BYU, Utah State, Utah. Beware of the Mormons, man. They are the state of Utah has some teams that are really, really playing well. I think BYU can really turn around and beat any team at any time in the country right now, and they're not even ranked yet. Utah's playing great. Utah State's playing great. I just now have been really jumping on Wisconsin with Tanjay, that they've got a couple great players. Wisconsin's kind of popped up out of nowhere, and they're what, 21-4 now?
Yeah, they're,
I mean, they're kind of one of the quietest, hottest teams there are.
They're certainly playing as well as anybody in the Big Ten. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're playing great ball.
And they kind of crept up on me, you know what I'm saying? I've already said St. Mary's. We know Maryland is really playing well with the freshman, the 6'10 freshman, Derek Queen. I love Ben Patino just because he's got the two freshman guards, and with the way they press – and their style. I love playing them. Colorado State is a team that I think is an upset team that's playing real well. Just to pull a couple out of there. But I'm loving – look, we know the SEC has got, what, four or five teams in the top 10. We know that the Big Ten has some teams that can beat you. The Big 12, I think, is kind of – besides Iowa State and Houston, which is a huge matchup this weekend, I think they're struggling. Kansas State is back to struggling. I don't know what's going on with Kansas, but besides Houston and Iowa State, I think the Big 12 is taking some hits.
Right, right.
And who I spoke of earlier, that's still doing well. But the ACC, U of L, Clemson, Duke.
That's pretty much it.
Right. And I don't see many teams. I do know that Clemson has a big game this weekend as well. I'll tell you three teams that I really like, and I'm not going to give you the spread or nothing, but I really like Houston at home over Iowa State. I love UK over Bama at Bama. I don't think Bama's played that great at home this year. I think UK can come in there and steal one from them.
And they lost last night to Missouri, right?
Right. And a lot of people think, oh, well, they're going to come in guns blazing. I'm not so sure about that. I pay attention to Bama basketball and UK basketball. I think Kentucky can go in there and get one, especially if Butler is foolproof there. And then, of course, I love BYU, as I said earlier, over Arizona, who is an up-and-down team.
Right.
And I'm loving that. But college basketball is getting hot. I'm ready. I just want to see some of these teams get healthy. Illinois's got the flu bug, so they have a big one coming up. I don't know if they're going to be able to work it with everybody sick on their team, and I know they got slaughtered during the week here with a bunch of sick players. So everyone, I just want everyone to get healthy before we start getting into our tournament, so everyone's foolproof.
Yep.
But I am really Freddie is hot right now, and I'm loving that, at least. if I listed the teams besides Incarnate Word, you wouldn't believe what some of them are. I'm not kidding. I mean, to tell you that Omaha was one of my four parlay wins last night, it gives you at least that. I think I won. Remember, I showed you last week Minnesota or a few games ago. Minnesota as a 14-point underdog. And I crushed that one and bet them individually as well. I think Minnesota's a decent team, and they went to UCLA. They're 14-point underdogs. I'm like, they're going to cover that. I bet them to win, and they did. They won by four. I think UCLA's an up-and-down team right now.
They are.
So I'm having fun betting college basketball, and I haven't really done that before.
Awesome. So,
and don't forget, we got Red spring training starting up. Go Reds. I want to throw that in there. Nothing to talk about. We're going to talk about that with Tuna.
Yes.
But baseball has begun as I look out the yard and see 10 degree, it being 15 degrees out with snow.
Right. Well,
it's good to know spring training has begun.
Tuna made us aware on our text thread this morning that the, first Dodgers spring training game is this afternoon. He was kind enough to let us know that. But, yeah, I mean, and I do, but we will get into a baseball breakdown, hopefully, probably next week. We'll certainly dedicate some of the show to that. But I will say, as we live here in Louisville, which is, you know, I mean, it's still kind of a Reds town. We have the Triple A affiliate for the Reds here with the bats. I do think there's an excitement about this team here that we haven't necessarily seen in the last several years, and whether or not that translates to success on the field, we will see. But it is nice that there's at least a little bit of a buzz going on about Reds baseball.
Yeah. And Marte is going to be, you know, obviously almost turned into Rookie of the Year. And he, you know, obviously had the PED situation, but he's going to be playing at Triple A Louisville. So we'll see how, if he can get out of that funk and see how he does. But yeah, I think we've got players at every position. We're doubled in depth now because of some of our injuries last year with McLean.
And they have a legitimate manager leading the team from the dugout.
Oh, babe, do we ever. Which, and that's the major key.
Yeah, which makes a huge difference, you know. Speaking of things to look forward to in spring, Freddie, we know that you are the resident horseman of the Blockout Sports Pod, and I understand that there is at least one big Derby prep race here coming up, and maybe more. So why don't you fill us in on what's going on the Derby trail?
Well, we had the Risen Star prep last week, and obviously we started all the point systems and everything on that. And there were 14 horses or 13 horses, I think, that were in that one. And man, oh man, was there an upset? I mean, I don't consider a Steve Asmussen horse an upset horse, who had actually ran well in a couple early preps. But with all the horses that were involved in that race, East Avenue, Jonathan's Way, Scratched, Built was another one, Vasimo, for a horse named Magnitude, 43-1 shot comes in. I almost bet that thing. I was so close to putting something on him. I liked some things about him, and I didn't do it. And, man, he comes in and wins. $2 Xacta paid $2,700.
Incredible.
he wins by 9 lengths, gets a 108. Buyer figure, which is off the charts. And wouldn't you know, the next day he gets an ankle chip, bone chip in his ankle. And here starts the dirt. And this is what happened last year. You get these horses that are doing great, and you can't wait to see what they're capable of, and one of them gets hurt. Then another one gets hurt.
Right.
They're so fragile. And, it's just frustrating for everyone. So this horse is already out of the Derby. He's had surgery. He will not be there for that. So another bummer for Steve Asmussen, who is becoming the Mario Andretti of the Indy 500 of the Kentucky Derby.
He's literally
starting to have these issues.
Just bad luck every year.
Yeah, but nevertheless, we've got the Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn, $1.25 million race. This is a huge Derby prep, 14 horses. You've got Cole Battle in there. You've got Sandman. I think Tuna likes that horse, Sandman. You got Mannequin Road, a Bob Baffert horse. These are all top horses that have done well in preps leading up to this. Smoking Wicked, Bullard, Speed King, some really good. Tiztastic is another win contender in this. And I'm just going to tell you the two horses I like, and that's it. We'll see what happens. But make sure you watch the Rebel this week. And I'm going with Speed King and Bullard in this race. I'm going to go two horses, and we'll see what happens. They're not necessarily chalk, but they're, you know, they're good value, and they're up there. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Any other anything else that sticks out to you as we look ahead to the, like, when are the so we've got that one, and then like the what is it, Arkansas, Florida, those races.
Yeah, well, you're going to have the Fountain of Youth coming up here soon. Always a big one. Eventually, after the Fountain of Youth comes the Florida Derby and all that. But no, you've still got a couple. Sunday is actually the Sunland Derby was ran this past Sunday.
Okay.
And then you've got, and you know, there has been winners out of the Sunland Derby. Mind that bird. But you've got a horse. I'm not even sure what horse has won. And I'm getting ready to do my book. You know,
yes, of course.
The book of my top 30 is coming out today.
Okay.
I'm doing the book. Everyone gets excited when I do that. And then, I mean, you've got also the John Battaglia is Sunday. That's another points race. So it's just coming nonstop now, and once we get into March, I mean, boom, it's like
right. That's when it's really cranking up.
Arkansas,
right.
The Arkansas, and all them are the latter ones.
Right.
But you've got the Florida, the Louisiana Derby's coming up. That's what Magnitude would have been in, which is a bummer.
Right,
but anyways, yeah. So every Saturday is going to be something fun. You got basketball, and then you look at that 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock window in the late afternoon, and you're going to have a major derby prep to bet on.
Awesome, and that gives us something here in subarctic Louisville, Kentucky, and this area, something to look forward to for brighter and warmer days ahead for sure.
Yes, sir. Hey. Did you hear about, real quickly, did you hear about Tiger and the TGL?
I did. I actually saw that.
Did you guys talk about that where he got the...
No. So if you didn't see it, and we've talked about it here on the show a little bit, the golf league, the indoor golf league, which I think each week has gotten a little bit better. They're figuring out what translates to TV and what doesn't and things like that. But Tiger was playing the other day and he asks he asks his team or whatever, what do I have to the hole? Now, if you're a golfer, you would know that, like, if Freddie and I are playing and we're obviously 189 yards out from the hole and not 89, like Freddie will say, Travis, what do I have? And instead of saying 189, a lot of times you'll just say 89 because you obviously have 189. Well, when you're playing indoors, there's nothing obvious because you're hitting into a screen. So Tiger says, what do I have left? And they say 99. And he thinks it's legitimately 99 yards. So he grabs like his 60-degree wedge, hits a 100-yard shot, and they're like, "What are you doing? You had
199-yard shot." And dude, they're all like Kisner and I'm laying on the ground laughing.
Oh yeah,
it
was
great. And you could do that in this, but Tiger was thoroughly embarrassed.
Yes, he was, and I thought,
he even said it was the worst shot, most embarrassing shot of his life.
And but that's what makes this fun. That's what makes watching this fun is these guys get to loosen up and not be so deadly serious about everything, and it's good to see Tiger. Even in a joking way, humbled a little bit, to a certain extent, and to be like a regular human being. But yes, that was a lot of fun. And if you haven't caught any of the golf league, if you happen to be, and there's nothing else on, if you enjoy watching golf, it's a good chance to kind of get to know these guys a little bit and see some really cool technology and see some pretty good golf being played.
Oh yeah, coming from a, as you know, for many years, a Golden Tee golden tea connoisseur like I am. I've made that mistake many times, but it was just on the ball, the roller ball. But dude, it was funny to see. I thought that you may have caught that. I had to mention it real quick before we get in. Last call, but it was funny. I saw it. I was actually flipping to it when it happened. So.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was funny.
I want to remind everybody that we are on social media. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Let them know they can find it wherever they find their favorite podcast simply by typing in Blockout Sports Pod. We missed Tuna this week. He should be back with us next week. We thank Colin very much for being here. And since it's now just Freddie and I, this should be a very straightforward and simple last call. Fred, last call.
Well, I know the Big Ten SEC meetings have been going on. They're going to do some CFP changes. Obviously, the seeding and the SEC expanded to like 9 games, maybe 10. I did think, obviously, we all kind of know that that's going to start happening. You know, the rankings, you know, not the conference champion determines the first round buys. You know,
right,
I think we
all of
America knows that's going to change. But I did find it interesting that what they are trying to do, if it does get to 14 teams or whatever, that the Big Ten and SEC are pushing to get 4 automatic bids.
Oh, of course.
The Big 12 and ACC get the 2.
Of course.
And it's going to be really, and we've talked about that too, it's going to be interesting to see how that pops, how that goes along with everybody.
Right.
That will get a lot of people rumbling and talking. So I can't wait to see what happens there. Also, as I told you all, I've been doing my, I've got my real quick, my deep cut, my, I'm going to do this every week, my deep cut band of the week that you need to go check out some tunes on if you're unaware of them, is another Southern country soft sound, and that is Poco. I know that Travis is, that you are know exactly who they are.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Huge fan of Poco. Songs like Crazy Love, Heat of the Night, to name a couple, but really good deep cuts on their albums. In case you were unaware, a couple band members in there, Timothy B. Schmidt, who later goes on to the Eagles, and Vince Gill, who later goes on to success. And goes on to the Eagles, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, he had a tremendous.
Well, he's with the Eagles now, finishing up at the Sphere.
Yeah, he had a tremendous solo career before, but yes, he came on. He was in Poco. I want to say for their.
Like in the 79,
80? Yeah, it was very late 70s or very early 80s is when he came on, yes.
Right. And but another great band. They're right there with Firefall, Climax Blues Band, all these bands that I really have been into lately. And I've always been into them. My dad had all their albums, but I've been looking back through those albums lately, and that's kind of my niche right now, so... I'm kind of in that Southern country, chill, soft rock, Atlanta rhythm section kind of thing. So I wanted to throw that out there, and that's basically it, man. All I'm trying to do is throw my tissues in the garbage and be able to get out.
Yes, and we look forward to hopefully next week everything being back to normal and having the crew back down here in the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios. Before I get out of here, I wanted to say I'm very much looking forward to, as much as I criticize and get on the case of Indiana basketball, I have an opportunity to go to Bloomington this weekend. Colin and I are going to the IU-Purdue game on Sunday.
Dude, awesome.
Now, check this out, Fred. You know that I am an enormous fan of Magnum P.I., the Rockford Files, the A-Team, like all these 80s shows. And beyond that,
watching them on the couch while I've been sick.
Yeah, beyond that, I'm a massive fan and of the theme songs of those shows. You know, Rockford Files is my number one all-time favorite. Magnum's right there. Well, Mike Post, the guy who at least co-wrote he did the Law and Order theme song, for crying out loud. They are doing a thing at IU on Saturday afternoon at the music school, where the orchestra is going to play all of his famous songs, and then he's going to do a question and answer session. So Saturday, I'm going to that. Then Colin, who's recently turned 21, and I are going to go hit some of my favorite spots around town, and then go to the IU-Purdue game on Sunday. So that should be a fantastic time. One other thing. Tonight is my end-of-the-season banquet for collegiate basketball. Again, want to thank all the players, the parents, the other coach, everyone that's involved. This was like my, I don't even know how long I've been at collegiate now. Since the, 2011, 2012 or something like that. So I've been at collegiate for a long time, and don't take it for granted, and look forward to celebrating the kids and the parents and all of that tonight. Also looking forward to the big hockey game tonight. I will be jetting out of the banquet, heading straight home to watch that. And hopefully next week we can talk about a big win for the USA. Again, it's been kind of a strange week, but I think we did the best that we could with what we had. I definitely want to thank Colin for being with us in the first part of the show. I want to thank Freddie for taking part of his Thursday and coming on with me.
Yeah, it wasn't my normal beach call, you know?
You're right.
I'm sorry, guys. I can't give you a legit buzzed beach call, but I will, you know, this summer.
Yeah, and we'll try to make up for some of that next week. Again, we look forward to having everybody back in studio. Thank you, everyone, for listening. The big fellow, the Tuna Country Matt Kempf, who unfortunately couldn't be here this week. The fabulous one who joined us on the telephone. And my nephew, Colin. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.